this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
The latter part of that, the word the Lord just brought through song was that there's quite a few of us here this evening, and you're trying to hold on to God with everything that you have, and the Lord just actually wants you to know tonight that, well, you can't. You're feeling fatigued, and you actually feel like you're slipping through the cracks, that it's like this cliffhanger scene, and you're hanging on the edge of the cliff, and you're holding on to that cliff with everything within your might, and yet you can feel your grasp just slipping. Somebody, even right now, you experience like physical pain in your hands, and it's simply a manifestation of something in the spirit. It's just a tremendous spiritual fatigue that is set in. And the Lord, just through the song, wants to minister to you that He just wants you to acknowledge that you cannot hold on. And He wants you to let go. And letting go just simply means saying that to God, saying to God, God, I cannot break through to you. I cannot hold on to you. I cannot see myself getting through this. Because God is the one wanting to hold on to you. He's wanting you to know tonight that He's the one that's not going to let go. He wants you to trust His grasp, the grasp of His love. And as the band just ministers again, just that refrain, there's nothing that can separate us, height nor depth, anything. I just want you, if you sort of at the end, just of your strength, we're at the end of the year, but you know that it's not as if when you go on holiday, things are going to stop. It's not as if you're going to get a break from the stress, you're going to get a break from the things that are hounding you. You're going to take those things with you. But the Lord is wanting to affirm to you tonight His promise that it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter what you take with you, nothing will be able to separate you from His love. But He wants you just to let go. So that if that is you, while all our eyes are closed, I just want you to slip up your right hand, and just the band will just minister the song and just allow it to. And I want you just to like sort of hold it up like as a fist first, saying, this is me holding on. And then I just want you to open up your hand and just say, God, I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go as a response to your invitation to come. It's no height, no depth, nothing. It separates you from His love. He wants you to know that. He has set you up this evening to know that. He's shouting it from the rooftops. He's thundering it out even with the rain. He wants you to know that nothing can separate you. So just raise your hand just there where you're sitting or standing, or maybe you're lying down. Say, God, I surrender. Surrender to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your banner that's waving over us. Thank you, Lord, that tonight we can rally together under the banner of love. God, we thank you, irrespective of whatever label has been put upon us. Since there are a few of us, and we, just in this year, we've had some labels put on us by spouses, employers, management, that labeled us. Says, this is you will be stuck in this department, or you don't belong here, or you will always be like this. You shouldn't have been here. And I just see the Lord coming tonight, and He's removing those labels, saying, but my banner over you is the blood-soaked banner, cross of Jesus. Tonight is shouting it out. Shouting His love out. I just sense that there's someone, there's see, I have this picture in my mind of a woman walking, and you've got a little girl that you're carrying upon your back. You're like traveling through this desert. And it's as if you've been, you're actually in this desert, but you belong in a palace. But you've been sort of chased away out of the palace, and you're walking across this desert, and you don't know where you're going to go. And a sandstorm came, and you can't even turn back because you don't even know how to get back to the palace. You don't know which way forward. So all you're wanting to do is just to lie down and just die and give up hope but this baby propels you forward, the sense of responsibility that you have towards this baby, this love that you have for this baby just carries you and sort of compels you to take another step to keep on trusting, but you, at the end of your strength. And you don't know where you're going to get the strength from to continue. And since that baby is like a dream God has given you, but a sense it also involves people in your life, and you just, God, I don't know where the next drink is going to come from. I don't know where the next word of hope is going to come from. I can't give hope if I don't have hope myself. And I believe that tonight the Lord is wanting to open up your eyes so what you can see in His presence, the well that He has dug for you, that well where Jesus meets with you. Like He did with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and He gives her fountains of life because you've been looking for this fountain on the outside. You've even been saying, if only I can get to this place or leave this place and go somewhere else, that's where I now will find the water. God is saying that He's wanting to open up your eyes to the water that's inside of you, water that you can take with you. So just again, while our eyes are closed, if you're here and you can relate to that word, just raise your hand. I want to pray. Okay, see this one hand. I believe there are two more people. I just want to thank you. It's one more person. Just raise your hand. Thank you. See the hands. Father, I thank you, God, just for these hands raised. And I thank you for the sense, Jesus, that you're saying that you've sent the disciples away to a different place. In other words, you've sent the crowds away, and you've set up this appointment, this very intimate appointment just between you and this woman. And you're saying, God, that you've got a place of intimacy. You've got a place, a secret place. Even tonight, Lord, even in this room, even amongst all of us, there's going to be a whisper of your voice that's going to penetrate the spirits, Lord, of your children responding to your voice. There's a freedom that you're bringing. There's a hope that you're bringing. I thank you, God, for the deliverance that you are ushering in. And I thank you, Lord, for the calling upon these lives, Lord, to sense this calling to impact villages, cities. And I just speak to release over that, God. I come against the assignments that have been brought against these lives to limit their anointing, to frustrate their anointing, to sidetrack the anointing, to hijack it. And I thank you, God, that I speak release over that, Lord God, to expand and release the anointing of the evangelist, the one who brings hope, the one who gives the drink that they themselves have received. And I thank you, God, that you lift them up to a new plane. In Jesus' name. What I want us to do, I'm going to turn things around a little bit. I asked for the communion to be shared at the end, but I wonder if we can do it now. And I want us just to take a minute, just where you're sitting, and just really to thank the Lord for the fact that He's brought you thus far. Thank Him for His blood. Thank Him for the body. And then we're going to just pray for one another. So guys, if you can just hand that out for us, while the band continues to softly minister to us. Good. So just where you're sitting, if you can just turn to someone and just pray a prayer of thanksgiving, which your friend sitting next to you can agree. Just thank the Lord. Thank Him for this year. Thank Him that you still have breath in your lungs to be here this evening. Thank you that you are able to be able to worship the Lord. Thank Him that you can go on holiday maybe. Thank Him for life. And just share that with somebody sitting next to you. As we share our joy gets multiplied. Okay, so enjoy it. The Lord has given us communion to enjoy with each other. Take about 3 or 4 minutes. Just pray out loud and just thank the Lord. And have somebody agree with you. Just while we're remaining in this attitude of prayer, Linda. Then it just has a further interpretation on the song.
It's a very simple concept, love. But it's a very hard concept of really sharing with you how much the Lord loves you. While Sunette was singing, I was just getting this love. He really loves you so much that He would die. And it's such an easy thing to say. But do you understand what it would take for you to come to a place of death? To actually really step out and to say, I would die for you. To really come into that life. No person, a human being could ever love you as much as Jesus loves you. And as much as God loves you, as much as God would take you in His hand and really love you. So it was that love. I agree with everything that was prayed. And I agree that the banner over us is love. But really that apple of the eye love, that writing on the hand love that really you cannot stay away from a person that you so much love that you want to spend every single second with. So it's a few words, but it is a big, big, big concept of love, of how much God really, really loves you, that He wants to take you in His arm, that He wants to hide you under His wing. He wants to love on you. He really wants to give you, impart into your heart, not into your mind, but into your heart, a real love gift of how much He loves you.
So Father, Lord, we come and we thank You, God. Your word says that You give us a hope, Lord, that does not make us ashamed because of the love that through Your Spirit You pour out into our hearts. And so, God, we come and we open up our hearts, Lord. We understand that the fountain is Yours, but we also understand that the containers are ours. So, God, we come to You and we want to give You the containers of our hearts. We want to pray that You will even stretch those containers further so we can receive more of Your love, God. So that we can not just receive it, Lord, but also just share it freely with the world around us. In Jesus' name. It's in this attitude that we're going to take up the offering. But, you know, we've been so blessed. It's last a few months. The Lord has just really opened up the hearts of so many people who have been giving tremendously into the congregation. So what I'm going to ask us this evening as we take up the offering, we're not going to take up the offering. I want you to take away the offering. And I want you specifically to think of somebody that you can bless with the amount of money that you wanted to give this evening into the church. Whether it's somebody standing next to the road, whether it's a friend that you know is in need, that you would pray about that and you would just sow that into their lives. Is that okay? You do that. If you absolutely insist to give, you can still. But I just feel in my heart that it's what the Lord wants us to do as a sign. Say we're freely received from God, so we freely give. Okay, so the Lord bless you as you do that. Pray about that and just freely give as the Lord lays on your heart. I want to thank the band. Guys, thank you so much. You guys are legends. Thank you for leading us into the presence of the Lord this evening. And our special thanks to Gibbethon, who came all the way from London, spent some time with family over here, and he just asked whether if we don't mind, whether he can be in the band. And I said, of course we don't mind. Of course he can be in the band. Gibby's been a great blessing to the Shofar congregations all over the world. such a privilege to have you here, my brother and cousin. It's lovely having you here. Of course, you can see he's got the good looks, eh? So thanks after me. And thanks a lot, guys. Lord bless you. I really appreciate you guys. All right, fantastic. The kiddies, you're welcome to leave now if you haven't left already with Sunette.
So if you're really burning to be here in the front to pray for them, then put those words down on the paper. Okay.
Hello.
Okay. So Father God, we just want to come today, God, and Lord, we want to honor just the leaders that you have sent here, Lord God, to Johannesburg, Lord God, to shepherd this congregation, God, for Heinrich and for Nikki, Lord. We're celebrating Heinrich's birthday today and Nikki's one earlier this week, God. We just want to really just honor them for who they are, God, and for who you've called them here to be, Lord, in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for them in our lives, Lord, and just that they serve, Lord God, so unselfishly, God, for just laying down their own lives, God, for the sake of us, God, for the sake of the flock. And we want to honor them for that, God, and we want to thank you for them, and we want to thank them as well, God, just for the year, God, that has gone by, that even though there were tough times, God, that you have sustained them, God, and you've carried them through, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that we can look ahead, Lord God, beyond the Jordan, Lord, and know, Lord God, of the things that are lying ahead of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord.
Father, we thank you that we can just be reminded of Matthew 7, where you say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And thank you that we can just see that their desire for Heinrich and Nikki, to see you, Lord God, and to have pure hearts before you, Lord. And thank you that the reward will be to see you, Lord God, in a clearer picture, Lord God, in clearer ways, Lord God, in the smaller details of everyday, Father God. Thank you just for your way of leading and guiding and directing them, Lord God, and just showing them who you are in this time. We thank you, Lord, for their gift, their blessing that they bring to this congregation, to this family, Lord. And we thank you that they will just establish so much more, Lord God, that it's not just for themselves that they're building, Lord God, but they're building for you, Lord God, in all humility. And in that humility, Lord God, they'll see the greatest reward, Lord God, of just the abundance of increase, Lord God, of pure hearts all around them, Father God, and people seeing God all around them, because that's the way they lead, Lord. We thank you for that, Father God.
Yes, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we see this picture of rain, Lord, on their harvest, on their crops, Lord God. I just thank you for the increase, Lord, and it comes in multiples. I thank you they will reap hundredfold, Lord God, that what they've sowed, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for protection over them as a family. I thank you the blood of Jesus covers them. I thank you, Lord God, that this marriage, Lord God, is just going to be such an example to so many, Lord God, going forward. So many people will learn from that. I thank you, Lord God, for godly offspring, Lord God, that they are raising up. I thank you for the wisdom that you give them, Lord, to raise up their children, Lord. And I thank you for mighty warriors in Jesus. I thank you for people with discernment, people with understanding, people with wisdom. I thank you for people who are tapping into the Spirit, Lord God. It's not living from their understanding, but living from the Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you lead them, Lord God, in your counsel, that you teach them all things. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide them by the desires of their heart. I thank you, Lord God, that their hearts are pure. You've given them a new heart, Lord God. And they were reborn, and that they can trust the desires of their heart, Lord God, because it's from you. I thank you, Lord, that your hand of protection is over them. I thank you, Lord, that you smile over them. I thank you, Lord, that you dance over them, Lord God, that you actually dance over them and rejoice in their lives, Lord God. Rejoice, Lord God, in their priorities, Lord God, in what they put first in their lives. And they already have a blessing, Lord God. We can't pray a blessing over them, but I thank you, Lord God, that we can release that blessing in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Everything, Lord God, that you have given them already, that can be released in the natural, Lord God. We call that into being in Jesus' name. And yes, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them in Jesus' name.
I just see this picture of almost like in The Lion King, in the opening act where they, where there's that massive song and all the animals come to Pride Rock, and Yeah, I just saw that picture and I just felt like God was saying, and I actually just want to pray it over you, Lord, that you would truly like that picture. It's springtime and it's like all the animals gathering and there's little baby animals and it's all the different kinds of animals and I just see them as this family of lions and with little cubs there on the rock. And we just want to honor you, Lord, for the amazing leaders that they are. And like the lions in the Lion King led the whole family or the whole kingdom of animals, God. We thank you for the position of authority that you've given them in the natural and in the spirit, Lord. And we just thank you that they take it up with so much honor and humility and sense of responsibility, Lord. And we just honor you for them and really pray that, like that picture, it will just be I just feel that it's a picture of life and a multiplication of life amongst different animals, different races, different cultures. Lord, thank you that you extend their territory and that we can just almost pray that picture into being, that there will just be flocks of people that come to come underneath their covering and come to be led by them. And thank you that the land will prosper and that it will be like that in springtime and will just be green and beautiful. And yeah, thank you, Lord, that where they go, there will be life and there will be multiplication of it supernaturally in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you for, Lord, as it's been prayed, Lord, just your blessing over Heinrich and Nikki, Lord, and their family. Lord, thank you for what you've got in store for them. Lord, thank you that you've promised, Lord, to take them from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Lord, and I pray that the season that's behind them, Lord God, would just be another milestone, Lord, of your faithfulness, Lord, of your integrity, Lord God, your absolute, Lord, commitment to them, Father. I thank you for what's to come, Lord. Thank you that you've already paved the way, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they will know your direction, Lord, that they will know your voice, Lord, like never before, Father. And I pray that you would, Lord, just call specific individuals, Lord God, to just surround them, Lord God, to hold their arms up high in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for the time to come. Thank you, Lord, just for your hand upon them. Thank you that their roots, Lord God, are deep. And Lord, that you would strengthen that even more in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for every prayer and every SMS and Facebook and WhatsApp message and everything that came through. It's lovely being spoiled, and thank you for coming to my party. Really, really, really appreciate it. The Lord joined in the fun and organized some rain for us, some hail. So it's fantastic being together in the presence of the Lord. And we've had an amazing week. It's Wednesday coming together as small groups in the middle of the week. It was amazing coming together and worshiping the Lord together, listening to what the Lord had on his heart for us. And then Thursday evening, we had some of the business guys coming together, and amazing time there as well. Last night, just the music evening was incredible. Eh? Those of you guys who were there, it was really amazing. And then just to worship the Lord in the way that we could this evening. So precious, you know, and it's makes one very sad to think that it's going to be a few weeks before we see each other again. But those of you who are still here during the holiday, please don't be a stranger. Let us know. We'd love to arrange something, maybe just at our house and get together a little bit. And the word I want to share with us is a word that was confirmed just before the service started and the band got together and we prayed. And so I want to take you guys to a scripture that the Lord shared with us earlier in the year, but I want to backtrack a little bit and sort of begin in the earlier part of the chapter. And it's in Malachi 3, verse 1. And Malachi is the book that sort of spans the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, even though historically it wasn't the last book written in the Old Testament, but it does give a very important prophetic bridge between the Old and the New. And it ends off with a wonderful promise God gives that in the last days he will send his spirit and the prophet Elijah, and Elijah will come, and Elijah will turn the hearts of the fathers towards the sons. And so we see that part of the New Testament ministry of the church and of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of reconciliation. And I just want to, it's not part of the sermon, it's free. I just want to put that out there that many of you guys are going back home sort of home where your family lives, your extended family. You're going into what might feel to you like a war zone where people might think differently to you, believe differently. You've changed in the meantime, and so a lot of things have changed. But the Lord is saying that He has given you the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? He has enabled you to, just through your life and through your love that you're going to demonstrate through the Holy Spirit inside of you, He's going to enable you to be a bridge builder. And He's going to give you wisdom, specifically, step by step. I just want to pray. Just close our eyes. I just want to pray for somebody. Father, God, I thank you. There's a guy here, you're about, I think you're 27, 28, and you just feel there's this big gap between you and your dad specifically. As if you see, like, standing, you're looking back, and this bridge sort of between your dad has just been burned down. In actual fact, it's been bombarded, just like somebody sabotaged it. And so you thought it was safe, and you walked across this thing, and it just blew up, and you barely made it out alive. And so you're very reluctant to begin to reach out to him again, because you almost literally almost sort of lost your life in the process. Emotionally, you died, and you're a bit of a hard shell, and sort of lost touch emotionally. And the Lord is just wanting to just minister to you this evening. Are you here? I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God, that, Lord, you see my brother's heart. And I thank you, God, that the yearning that he has in his heart, Lord, is a yearning that you've put there. And I thank you, Father, that it is your desire, Lord, to turn the hearts of the fathers towards the sons, and the hearts of the sons towards the fathers. And I thank you, God, that you will strengthen my brother. I thank you for the honor and the privilege that you have given him, God, to be the strong man in the spirit. And I want to speak strength over him. I want to speak, Lord God, to your undergirding strength, that you will undergird him with strength, with peace, and with joy. Thank you that I can speak over him, that the joy of the Lord will be his strength at this time. But I thank you, God, for your miracle working power. And God, that you say to him that, Lord, you've given him the keys to his dad's heart. You will show him what those keys are. Thank you for the keys of love. Thank you for the keys of honor, the keys of respect, the keys of humility. And you'll be able to use them wisely, my God. And Father, I speak a blessing over his lineage, and I thank you that his sons will be blessed, Lord, and they will know their grandpa and have an amazing relationship with him. In Jesus' name. Malachi 3, verse 1. Prophet Malachi is speaking. God is speaking through him, and he's saying, Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's or launderer's soap. In the next verse, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former days. Then we jump a few verses. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Again, so that's the chapter. We've skipped the two bits in between where the Lord speaks about tithing and giving finances into the kingdom. You can read that yourself. It's well known. And here specifically, God is speaking through the prophet, and he's challenging them, and he's speaking to them, and he's speaking to them to their desire, that they had a desire at that stage. They were living, a huge portion of the Israelite people were living in captivity in Babylon, and some others were living in Jerusalem. But the temple was run down. The walls of Jerusalem was completely destroyed. Malachi, we're not sure exactly, but we presume that he lived more or less at the same time as Ezra and Nehemiah. They were contemporaries. He definitely didn't live after Nehemiah, because Nehemiah reestablished the temple worship and rebuilt the walls. And in Malachi's time, there was this big, massive disillusionment with God and the promises which God had made his people, where he told Abram, listen, I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be a blessing to the nations, and people are going to come to you. People are going to see how blessed you are, and they're going to be jealous over the blessing upon your life. They're going to be so curious. They're like, how the world did you get so blessed? What's your secret? What do you have? And they're going to be provoked to serve God. God didn't choose Israel simply to have them as his own people and then send the rest to hell. He wanted Israel to be his covenant people so he could manifest his goodness tangibly to them, and other people could see that. But through their disobedience and through a lot of things that have happened at this stage, like so many other times in their lives, they were being held in bondage by somebody else who conquered them, who overpowered them. And now they're asking some questions. God, if you are for us, why are we sitting with this mess? Why are we not experiencing breakthrough? Why are we not experiencing the joy? Why are we not experiencing the awesomeness of worship that Solomon had? We hear the stories. We know about how you came and you came to your resting place within the temple, and nobody could stand in the temple as your Shekinah glory came down. And that is just a rumor to us. The temple is run down. The priests don't do what they're supposed to be doing. The Levites don't. The people don't care. We've got a desire to see you, God. And so there's this collective crying out to God for a visitation, for the day of his coming. And so here Malachi comes and he says that the Lord will come. He says, I will come and I will come and visit you. I will come and I will manifest myself amongst you. But he comes to them and he says that when the Lord comes, and I love that word, if we can just go back to the first verse, the little word thrown in there, suddenly. The Amplified speaks about this as well. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the fulfillment of that word is in two portions, that promise. The first fulfillment was when Jesus came. Jesus came to earth as the one who brought the good news, as the one who physically came close. No longer was it needed for the people to worship God from a distance. Jesus now came so close. He became human. We could touch him and see him and feel him. And now he's living in our hearts. And Jesus literally came into the temple. You remember as a little boy, his parents brought him to be circumcised. And there were some people who recognized Jesus when he came. And then there were some who didn't recognize him when he came. The coming of Jesus was good news to some. And the coming of Jesus was bad news to others. The coming of Jesus elicited great joy in the hearts of others. And the coming of Jesus led to great rage in the hearts of others. Some worshipped him. Some crucified him. But the coming of Jesus, when Jesus enters a scene, he changes things. And that's what that word speaks about. It says, there's a time in your life before I come, and then there's a time in your life after I've come. And things change when I come. When I arrive on the scene, when I walk into your room, when I walk into your heart, when I walk into your company, when I walk into your marriage, when I walk into your family, and into your finances, things change. Otherwise, it wasn't me that walked in there. Jesus arrives and he gets into our hearts. And because we're human, we cannot be the same. It was the prophets of old that so often when Jesus arrived and they met God, they couldn't help but fall flat down on their faces. They couldn't help but respond through worship. And we often still have to decide, are we not? And I wonder, maybe we should make the cry of our hearts that we want to see him. And I've been speaking to people so often lately, and I hear this collective cry. I hear this cry. It's like that first scene from Prince of Egypt. I think I've shared this. Beautiful first song where the people of God just collectively cry out to God, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. Oh God of Jacob, but you would deliver us. And God says he hears their cry and he sends Moses and he comes into their lives through Moses. But here God says, I'm going to come myself and my day will suddenly appear. And I want to just say this to some of us, that you've been crying out to God to meet with him, and you've been saying, God, forget about the breakthrough. God, forget about the new job. Forget about the spouse. Forget about the child. Forget about all of that stuff. I'm crying out for you. And as I've been thinking about this in my own life, and I've been hearing what our small groups talk about, and when people come together, I've been so blessed by the cry that's emanating from this congregation. People say, we want to meet with you. We want our worship to be different. We want our small group gatherings to be different. We want our coffee dates to be different. We want our drives to work to be different. We want our family times to be different because we want to meet with you. We see so much you offer us in Scripture. So much joy in your presence. So much of knowing you, understanding you, feeling you, experiencing you. And yet we sense this dearth. We sense this emptiness. We sense this longing in our hearts. And then God comes and he says, suddenly. And I just have this excitement. We prayed beforehand and we sense this, that God is going to, man, I see a storm of grace coming. I see a storm of favor coming. I see a storm, as a storm unexpectedly rises as it does here in Johannesburg. One moment it's clear skies and the next it's there. And you know it's there. Your car knows it's there. Your flowers knows it's there. Everything knows it's there. The storm came. And I just know in my heart of hearts, guys, that God is going to make sure that we know that he came. And if that is our cry is, God, we want to see you. We want to meet with you. We want to experience you. We want to be touched by you. We don't want to be the same. You know, but then God says, the prophet says, he's going to come. But in a way, he's also saying, but do be careful what you ask for. You're asking for God to come, but do you know what you're asking for? You say, he's coming, but he's coming in a very specific way. He's coming to do something. He's not just coming to sit and drink coffee with you. He's coming with a purpose. He's coming in there as a fire. He's coming in there as a refiner's fire, he says. And it's not as if he comes and he draws close to Heinrich and he says, I don't like this stuff in Heinrich's life, so I'm going to come as I'm going to turn up the heat on him. He's fire. And fire is just fire. You know, if you're the mosquito and you get too close to the fire, you can't be crossed with the fire. You're the mosquito, and mosquito meets the fire, the mosquito dies. It's plain and simple. But God comes and through the blood of Jesus, he has given us the capacity and the ability not to be consumed by the fire. That's the difference. In the Old Testament, when the fire got close to you, when the high priest, when he got into the Holy of Holies, and there was sin in his life of which he didn't repent, he wouldn't make it out of there alive. He'd be dead. They used to tie a rope around his ankle. And if he stopped moving, they would know. If the bells around his ankle would stop moving, they would know in the most holy place something has happened. God wasn't happy with him. God wasn't pleased with him. He didn't offer God a sacrifice that was acceptable, and that was his last sacrifice. And so they would then pull him out by his ankles on this rope, dead. That is the old covenant. In the new covenant, God has made a way for us to come through the blood of Jesus, because Jesus fulfilled every requirement of the law. We can come and we can worship him boldly. But you know what has not changed is the fire. We've just been given a capacity to withstand the fire. We've just been given a capacity through the blood of Jesus to be in Christ, protected from that side of God's holiness that cannot stand sin, that has to consume sin, has to. But when we step into the presence of God and we come close to the fire doesn't consume us, but it does refine us. And sometimes we get close to the fire of God. We get close to his holiness. We get close to his discipline. And we fear being consumed. We feel that God is against us. God, you're messing up my plans. God, you're frustrating me. I thought you were supposed to be with me. It feels like you're against me. No, he's not. He's simply being the fire. He's simply being the fire, wanting to get some stuff out of our hearts. Why? Because he's wanting to just focus on the dross and the junk in there. No. He isn't dross focused. He isn't junk focused. He's gold focused. He's after the gold. But the only way he can get the gold out of us is to invite us closer to him, to the fire. And I've just, in my life, I've been saying to God quite often lately, in actual fact, God, can just turn the heat just down a little bit. Just a little bit. And the same time, there's something in my heart that says, don't you dare do it, God. Don't you dare move away from me. Because I yearn for this. I yearn to be close to you, eye to eye. If you can speak to me, I can know that I'm close, I'm on your lap. Things have to die and things have to fall away, but I want to be no other place but here where I'm being refined. And I know that for many of us, 2012 was a year of refining. I know that there was stuff that surfaced, stuff that jumped out, stuff that caught you by surprise, and you're like, oh, no. But I'm saying to you that you're the right place. You're close to the fire. You're close to the fire. God is after gold. You know, earlier in the year, we had this big meeting next door, the SOS meeting. See us, and a whole bunch of guys came. The SOS meeting, School of the Supernatural. And one of the prophecies that came out is that God is giving this congregation an anointing to dig for gold. To dig for gold. We're in the city. It's not, I mean, it's not rocket science to figure it out. We're in a city of gold. Actually, city of love, but like city of gold. Built upon the hunger and the desire for gold, wealth. And part of our redemptive purpose is to dig for the gold in the hearts of people. That God has an anointing upon us to be able to, where other people see just junk and other people see pride and see arrogance, see greed and see selfishness, we can look through those things and see the gold. And zone in on the gold. But you know what? It's very difficult for you to zone in on the gold in somebody else's life if you don't know that you have been zoned in on. If you don't know that somewhere along the line somebody zoned in on you. Zeroed in through your dirt, through your junk, through your chaos, through your confusion, came hard after you to bring forth the gold inside of you. And I believe that part of what God has been doing in this year was to get us to a place of desperation, get us to a place of this Afrikaans word, like we can't repeat, but you know when you get full, you're full, you know, of yourself, of you're full of it, you know. And God is bringing us to that place where we're saying, listen, the stuff that I've been chasing after doesn't satisfy. It doesn't do it for me anymore. I remember on Thursday, Andre shared with us about how in his business, the Lord brought him to that place and, you know, things went south very quickly with some of the plans he was making. And God asked him, do you trust me? He says, yes, God, I trust you. And that's all that God was saying to him. Constantly just asking him this question, do you trust me? And at first, he could say it with very great boldness, God, of course I trust you. And he had all the scriptures to quote as well, and he knew all the stuff to say to God. And evening after evening, God was just asking him, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And things were just getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. And it got so worse that eventually the truth came out of his heart. No, God, I do not trust you. And things got so worse that bad that he did not have any other choice but to really be honest deep down in his heart. And I sense that for many of us, the Lord is allowing some things to take place so we can move beyond our religion, move beyond all the right answers, all the stuff that we've been programmed to say, and get to a place of honesty, get to the place of desperation, but be honest enough to say to God, like Peter said, God, I'm not even going to try and attempt to lie to you and say to you that I love you. You know my heart. You know my heart. You know where I'm at. You know about how I betrayed you. You know about all the stuff that I said. And when we're at that place of honesty, we say, God, I can't. I can't do this. It's almost like a swear word for many men. I can't. It's like, I'm not going to say that. But to get to that place where we can say it and God can come and God can take over. God can come and he can manifest his strength. Sort of being just what the Lord has been sharing with me. The next verse continues. And the Lord is speaking. He says, no, go back. Next one. Yeah. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. No, go back. Previous one. Yes. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Why? That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. You sons, you descendants of worshipers, if you know that. The Bible calls us, in the Old Testament, you had Levi and all of his seed, and Aaron's seed. They would be the guys ministering in the temple, okay? Either cleaning the temple, making the sacrifices, playing the instruments. a select few. The rest of the people had to go through them. In Scripture, in the New Testament, God calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are His priests. Okay, and so when God speaks about the sons of Levi within the New Testament context, that's us. That is us, worshipers. You are by definition a worshiper. You are not a son first or a husband first or an engineer first or a graphic designer first or a journalist first or an entrepreneur first. You are first and foremost a worshiper. First and foremost, that is what God had originally in mind when He thought of you. He thought about you worshiping Him. He thought about you giving glory to Him. That's what you're going to do once your engineering business is done and dusted and you're in heaven one day. That's what I'm going to do once my parenting, my pastoring, all of those things are over and done with. That is what I'm going to do for eternity. Now, being a parent and being an engineer and being a husband is part and parcel of worshiping. Right? We can't separate the two. But it's not what defines me. What defines me is that I am a worshiper. In other words, I can get into the presence of God and I can bring a smile to God's face unlike any other creature upon the face of the earth. Nothing and nobody else, not the elephants, not the dolphins, not the rhinoceroses, must pray. Our kids can one day, no, I'm serious, still see rhinoceroses and join with the people doing the good jobs that they are doing and trying to rescue them. But none of creation can bring the joy and the smile to God's face the way that we can. Scripture says the angels stand in amazement at the grace that we have received. We can get freely into the presence of God and worship Him. You know what I've noticed in my own life and in the life of us as a congregation? I know your stories. I stand up here and I see so many of your faces and I see so many of your stories. And an evening like tonight, there's a cry and there's a desperation for God and there's a collective song of worship that goes out to God that I know has been born in the fire. That I know has been born in trial and tribulation of desperation and being killful and sutful with yourself and with your circumstances. And God is saying, when I come and I bring my fire, I come to refine you. I come to get the stuff of you out of the way so that the goal that I've placed in you can remain. Why? So that when you worship, man, it's beautiful. When you worship, there's a presence. When you worship, there's freedom. When you worship, there's deliverance. When you worship, the people who don't know me can walk into my presence and be touched and be healed and be restored. And so I want you to remember that when the heat gets turned on to you. I say it so often. When you are in that valley and things are going tough, that's the moment when you must write your songs. That is the moment when you must do your poems. That's your moment when you must paint. That's your moment when you must draw your sketches. That's the moment when God wants to come and stir creativity inside of you. Someone here, and you've had people say over you that you are not creative. You're like so left brain, they can do it with you. You can't even imagine a picture in your mind. And that's a lie. Okay, the Lord has creativity stored up inside of you that He wants to release. But He's wanting to do that, He's wanting to drop it in your heart when you're in the fire. Some of us are shying away from the fire. And I just want to say this prophetically for where we're going and into this holiday time. I know there's some of you, the thought of going home doesn't excite you. I want to say to you, you're going to come back with gold. You're going to come back with some precious things. They may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. You know, I yearn for that. I yearn to walk away from a worship meeting like this, my own quiet time at home, knowing that I've touched God. Knowing that I've connected with Him. Knowing that I carry with myself a presence of God that is going to enable me to look at people differently. As Charles Spurgeon said it so often. When you get into the presence of God, when you speak to people, you speak from a different mountain. You've gone into the presence of God and God has called you up higher. You know, we speak to our circumstances and our challenges and our giants eyeball to eyeball very often. At worst, we speak up like this to the giants. When you get into the presence of God, He calls you up higher. You connect with Him. He gives you perspective. He gives you an ability to see things you haven't seen before. He causes you to soar high above your mountains. And when you then speak to your challenges, it's different. You speak out of a place to which you've been elevated by the presence of God. But you have to come closer. Don't fear the fire. Don't fear the fire. He goes on and he speaks about the fact that the people of God, let's go to the next verse 13. He says, but guys, there's an element. I'm coming to you and I'm coming to heal. I'm coming to deliver. I'm coming to refine. There's something specifically that God wants to refine. Something crucial to the true heart of worship. And you're not coming together like this. Does anybody have access to the aircon? I'm praying up a storm here for myself. Thanks, guys. Let me refresh my mind. I interrupted myself. One of the keys to true worship, it's not just about what happens in this room, as amazing as that was, and we're just going to sing one or two more songs now. As incredible as that is and as uplifting as that is, true worship gets reflected in how we speak. Your daily verbal culture. And God says, I'm coming to you and I'm coming to refine, but there's this one thing I want you to be deliberate about. And that is the fact that there are words, and I thought about this, and I read this the first time, I'm like, whoa, hang on a minute. There are words that can hurt God. Sticks and stones can actually, there are words that can hurt God. God, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, beyond our reach, sovereign, said, you've been harsh towards me. What does it mean when you're harsh towards somebody? It means you hurt them, doesn't it? God can be hurt. You thought about this. He can be hurt. He can be bruised. That's why the scripture says we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. This is one of the ways that you are harsh towards me. It's not that you blaspheme necessarily, or curse and those things. I mean, we know that's sinful. But there's something that hurts the heart of God, and that is when we doubt His heart towards us. Because He says here, you've been harsh towards me. And the people say, what have we spoken against you, God? Come on, you God. What could we say against you? We haven't said, God, we hate you. We didn't say that. But what we did say was, God, we don't know whether you're for us. God, we're not sure whether your heart is good towards us. God, maybe it's better for us to go the way of the world, because it seems like people who do not follow the way of integrity and do not follow the way of faithfulness and are not faithful to their wives or their husbands, as if they have it easier. Because he says, you have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. And then comes this beautiful bit where the people of God, their hearts respond. They get together and they start talking to one another. The Amplified translates it, the literal translation, it says, they speak to one another often. It's like my little girl. Yesterday we walked into the mall, then Clearwater, Nick and myself and Annika, Jonah was there as well, and little Kate. And we walked into the mall, and after about a few minutes or so, Nick and I, we looked at each other and we realized, my goodness, Annika was having a conversation all by herself, you know, to herself. She was happy with that. She was just talking. Like the moment she walked in and just consistently talking. Perfectly fine. And Malachi sort of understands the heart, the feminine heart, the desire to talk often. And I'm still growing into that. After 9 years of marriage, I'm still not completely getting that. I understand the talking bit, the talking often bit. You know, I'm still growing into that. But you just talk, and it's therapeutic and it's healing apparently. And yeah, it's all of those things. Okay, but it says there that the people of God get together and they talk to one another. You know, the reality is, if we do not talk to each other, there's enough other voices talking to us. There's enough other things coming against us. You are consistently in dialogue with somebody. Your brain, the voice of the accuser bombarding you all the time, the voice of the boss or the voice of the spouse. And we have an awesome responsibility as believers that when we come together to actually speak to one another the stuff that God is saying over our lives. Say, like, man, you've got the resurrected Christ living inside of you, the hope of glory. You've been destined for greatness. You know that? You've been destined for greatness. And that speaks to me, talking to one another, speaks to me what Paul spoke about. He said, when we come together, each one of us has got a song and a psalm and a hymn. A spiritual song. When we come together, we can prophesy over each other. destiny and release accountability. And my heart is going out towards you. You're getting incredibly cold. I know. Give me a few more minutes, okay? I'd rather want you cold and listening to me than warm and sleeping. Thanks, Maria. So I want us, as we think back on this year, we think back on refining, all the stuff you can think about that God is wanting to refine in your life. I want us to make a commitment to God as a congregation that we will not despise prophecy, okay? And that we will not despise the moments when we come together to speak to one another. What that verse says, it's amazing. It says that God listened, he heard and he listened. The literal translation there again means that he paid attention. I want God to pay attention to when I talk. I want my words to count for something. The book of remembrance speaks about a scroll that gets opened up in heaven. It speaks about authority that God releases over his people. It speaks about a moment when you get to a situation and you need to access faith, or you need to access hope, or you need to access joy or peace, or you need to stand against an onslaught of the evil one, that there's a book opened up for you. It says, we know this guy. His name counts for something. He has made a few investments in heaven that he can now make withdrawals from. I see the angels walking around with their voice recorders. I don't know whether heaven uses iPhones or galaxies or whatever, but the jury is still out on that one. But walking around, looking for conversations worth recording. Is there a conversation in this congregation that we can take back to Abba Father? Is there a conversation worth recording that we can present to Almighty God and say to him, God, you've got to listen to this. There's a group of people holding on to your promises. There's a group of people saying that our God is able. There's a group of people saying that he's our beginning and he's our end. You've got to listen to this. And the excitement that would stir in God's heart. Or would they go, delete, 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 oh, delete, delete. The converse is true, that there might just be a few demonic strongholds being strengthened by what we say. There's some more doubt. There's some more mistrust. There's some more, oh, I want to know about that person. I don't know about his heart. Is his heart for me? Are they selfish or not? Or is there, we believe the best of each other. We're going to speak life. And I believe that so many of us have gotten through that test this year where you had to make a choice whether you were going to speak life or whether you were going to agree with your circumstances. And the Lord says to you that he's going to take you to the next level. There's a book of remembrance that's been opened up for you. It has your name in it, your conversations in it. You can go and you can boldly go and make those withdrawals. You've been through the war. And there are spoils of war that God wants you to go and claim. Say, God, I want my peace. Not just for myself, but for my family. For my boss. Where I'm working, I want life to flow into them. Okay. Then he says that they shall be mine on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And verse 18. And then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And I know in my heart as we all stand that the Lord has in store for us in 2013 and the rest of this year even. And I still just want to say this again, guys. There's some of us, you can switch off the echo now. There's some of us who sort of, you just want this year to finish. You just want this year to stop. And the Lord is saying that you are actually, it's like a faucet that you've just turned the tap. You've just closed it at the wrong moment. And the Lord is wanting you tonight to just open it up again, because the Holy Spirit isn't done with 2012 yet. Okay? He's not at the end yet. It's not the end. There's still a good few weeks left of God's purpose for this year. God's purpose for this year. God's purpose for this year. Not yours, not your bosses, not the devil's, not circumstances. God's purpose. For 2012. And that there's something, there's somebody here. You've got to know that God, like he does for his sheep, and he takes a branding iron and says, you are mine. I've branded you as my very own. There are hearts in this room that you need to know that. And God has this refrain over and over and over in my heart. He wants you to know how much He loves you. The fire that has come against you. This is a beautiful verse in 1 Peter 1. Just go there, Tanya. Where Peter, and Peter would, oh, you're already there. My goodness. Reads my mind. Peter knew all about refining, right? He knew all about failing. He knew all about just being exposed to his own heart. And his failure, in a sense, opened up his heart. Because he knew what it felt like when he was at his worst to receive the most incredible revelation of agape love. When he felt like an utter and complete failure, when 3 years of his life went down the drain, he received an impartation of God's love that changed him from the reed to the rock. And he could give us these beautiful verses. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Some of you carrying some stuff with you, man, some dead stuff, some things that have died in this year. The Lord says He's the God of the resurrection. He's the God of the impossible. He can make things come alive. You're like Mary and Martha. You're like cross with Jesus. Jesus, if only you had come a few days earlier, Lazarus could have been saved. Jesus, now I've come at exactly the right time. So this can be to my glory. The glory of the Father. Your life has got glory written all over it. He's going to come as the Lord of the resurrection. We're going to speak life over some dead things tonight. So you've come to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Maybe your KPA didn't go too well. Maybe you didn't get the bonus. It wasn't big enough. I'm not the car or the spouse or whatever. God says, I want you just to lift your vision a little bit higher tonight. You've got an investment. You've got a bonus stored up in heaven for you. A bonus achieved for you by what Jesus did. You didn't earn it. You didn't have to work for it. Because you are in Christ, because you are His. You've got an inheritance. It says it's incorruptible. JSE, stock markets, FTSE, TUTSI, whatever. Doesn't matter where it crashes. You've got inheritance. Goes beyond your degree. Goes beyond your status. Goes beyond your ethnicity. It is the one God has written your name upon. And you've got to know that. You've got to know that. You are a supernatural creature with eternity in your heart, and your destination is heaven. And the reward Jesus has for you. It says you are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we heard it. He wants you to know it's His power that's keeping you. Whatever power you thought brought you to this evening, I want you to look away from that. Because it's His power. It's His power that has kept you. It's His power that will keep you. His power. And the last part of that verse says that God comes in. Is that the last part, Tanya? That there's a treasure in heaven stored up for you, but more than that, there's a treasure inside of you as well. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know why the enemy is after you and why he hates you? Because you've got something more precious than gold. The seed of the divine. God has dropped into your spirit when you responded to Him. You've got divinity living inside of you. I want you to think about the most precious thing you can think of. the thing you just absolutely at this moment cannot think that you can live without this thing or this person. God says to you that you are more precious to Him than anything you can imagine. More precious. You are more precious to Jesus than His own comfort. And the simplicity of this message is what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to sink into our hearts. So I believe there's some of us, we can just close our eyes. There's someone here, you like, I don't know whether you're literally top management, like you have quite a few teams underneath you, whether it's just spiritually, but like you're like fighting this battle on, it's almost like on a top level. You're like in and out of board meetings all the time and memos being sent left and right. And you're like, even this week, you just went through your emails because there's some important things that you're looking for or that you lost. And the Lord is saying that the confusion in your mind is, it's manifesting now just in the physical. It's actually a spiritual confusion. And that is that you have begun to doubt this most simple and basic thing, whether God's love is strong enough. And I just see you coming down like with the elevator from like the 25th floor. And you're coming down all the way down to this. It's like the Queen's kitchen. Deep down underneath in a bunker. You get down there and there's a spread that has been prepared for you. It's you and God and like bombs going off outside. You say, God, it's wartime. The building is being attacked. My dreams are being attacked. Everything that I've hoped for being attacked. It's not time for a meal right now, God. And God says, this is exactly the time for a meal. As He brought that fish for the disciples on the seashore of Galilee, He's inviting you just to come and eat the meal of love that He has prepared for you. He wants you to just respond to His amazing grace again tonight. Whether you've been walking with God for 5 years, 25, 5 months, 5 days, He wants you to just respond to His amazing grace. Open up your heart. We're going to sing that song and just meditate upon His grace, magnificence of His grace. And I want you to just open up your heart. Let this, the words of the song and the ministry of the Holy Spirit just elevate you. Take you where you need to be. There's somebody also here. You've been in this week, or last 2 weeks, I sense you've been in a car accident. And you really got a fright. You sort of saw your life just flashing by you. And you're like, God, is this all that my life amounts to? And the Lord is inviting you to a place of sort of see you getting out of that car into another one. He's taking you on a different road, into the countryside, off the highway, just into the countryside, place of rest, cottage by the lake, and you and Jesus. And He takes out this old, it's like this briefcase filled with like old plans. So there was some stuff the Lord spoke to you about, and He sort of buried them a little bit. You don't even know where to find them again. The Holy Spirit says He still knows. He was the one that spoke the word. He still knows about it. And as you go into your holidays, are you here? I just want to pray for you specifically. If that is you, so I want you to raise your hand quickly. Thank you. You can drop the hand again. Father, I thank You for your protection over my brother, God. I thank you that you kept him, preserved him from the assignment of death that came against him, God, and that you, Lord, have a calling and a destiny upon his life. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're not caught by surprise by where he is right now. You've already made the way. You've already, the emergency vehicles of your angels have already moved into his life to open a way for him, even in his work, just to create space around him for him to break away. You've done it. You've moved ahead. The way has been made. And I thank you for that space, Lord God, that you are giving him to be able to sit down with you, Jesus, see the blueprints again, understand what you're holding before him, get the thrill, see him sitting by this tree almost like at Christmas and opening up this present, so excited. You're restoring the joy of anticipating what you're going to do in his life. And I thank you for that, Father God. Let's just give our hearts to the Lord and worship him. Officially getting to the end of the service, so if you need to go, you're welcome to go. But I do want to urge you just to spend some more time with us and just worship the Lord. And then we're also going to just then spend some time just fellowshipping outside. But we're going to linger here a little bit in his presence. That is okay. Just linger in his presence a little bit and just allow him to come and cleanse us. So much cleansing I sense the Lord is wanting to do tonight. Some of us, we fear the fire, we fear the cleansing, we feel so contaminated, and God is saying, I'm here to cleanse. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to restore your joy. Give you a joy that's going to carry you into this season. Thank you, Father.